Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes' perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
How you doing today, Tommy?
Running on fumes, dude.
Yeah, you got the finish line in sight?
Yeah, we're on the last day of the last performance, and it's been successful, but it's tiring, and you know, we're ready to get our lives back.
Well, it's like you said, it's like a second job, because basically, after you leave your real job at Tridata, then you go to the park
for 8 hours.
5:15, right, usually?
Yeah, 5:15. I'm there till the last person out after midnight.
Yeah.
So it's round the clock there, just about. It's wearing this poor old man out.
Well, I know I went Friday night, and that was the second time I'd seen it, and yours and Mary's hard work has really paid off. I mean, it was an excellent show. So.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. We've got real good response from everybody, and it's really exciting to bring that kind of entertainment to our community.
I mean, I couldn't believe it when I got there. There was a line, like, up to the knob. The knob's like a part of the Ritter Park where people go make out, or used to. I don't know if they do anymore.
No, they tore down the covered part of the knob. Remember, it had that like, covered thing over top of it up there.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They tore that down because it was rotting away, so... They took it down, so now it's an open air knob.
Well, anyway, the line went all the way from the gates of the amphitheater up to the knob. So
that's right. The knob was exposed.
Yes, it was an exposed knob. But I mean, the good thing is that when the show is going to be, this is your last show tonight, and then this week it's the 4th of July, so you got a little holiday.
That's true. We always love the 4th of July. It's a good time to eat and drink and watch the fireworks.
Yeah, and our family tradition is to set off a lot of fireworks.
Yeah, we like to keep each other entertained, and we try to jump through them and do all that stuff they tell you not to do.
Those are suggestions. Disclaimers, if you will.
Yeah, just like at the start of our show, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't really listen to this for any real information.
Well, so since it's the 4th of July, we thought we would do a holiday-themed episode all about fireworks.
Well, all right. All I know is light a match and run like hell, but if you know more, then let's hear about it.
Well, I don't know if you remember this or not, but you actually taught me the proper use of a Roman candle back when I was younger. And that was not to put it in the ground or something like that, but you're actually supposed to hold it in your hand and aim it like a gun.
Yeah, that's right. Aim at each other. We used to do that when I was a kid, have Roman candle battles, shoot them at each other. Nobody died.
Skip lost an eye, but that was cool.
Yeah, that's all right.
I remember you holding it in the backyard of the house and then shooting them up at the backboard of the... basketball goal and bouncing off like bing, yeah. Bing, and just like little explosions.
Yeah, Roman candles are they have multiple uses you could use to make them more fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
One thing I saw in a YouTube video, apparently it's not a good idea to launch a bottle rocket out of your ass.
No, it's not.
The friction coefficient of the stick leaving your rectum is apparently greater than the stick leaving a bottle. So therefore, the bottle rocket doesn't ever reach launch speeds and just sits there and shoots flames onto your bare butt.
Yeah. So if you had some sort of a lubricant to alleviate the friction.
Maybe it would work better, but this poor slob, he didn't have any lubricant. He was sitting there getting eaten up there with the flames. Well, it's funny. It tried to obtain orbit speed, but couldn't do it.
That's a whole new meaning to the term fire in the hole.
Hey, that was a good one.
Thanks. I remember you telling me also when I was younger that you used to take like your G.I. Joes and your toys and things like that and blow them up and launch them into space and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. We would take old models that we built. I used to.
Oh, those models. That's right.
Yeah, I used to love building models. Now, we did it with G.I. Joes, too. We would put a firecracker under like some dirt and put G.I. Joes or Army men, the plastic Army soldiers you used to be able to get.
Little green men.
Yeah, the little green men, and put those around and then light them and watch them blow up and fly over and go, ooh, man, that guy really got it good. Ooh, look at him. And then I had these oversized plastic soldiers, Germans, Japanese, and American soldiers, and they were like, stood about 6 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to blow those guys up, too. You know, they'd lose an arm now and then or something like that.
Well, those kind of like those big plastic cowboy ones I used to have growing up that we used to shoot with the BB gun?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember those things fondly. Those were, they're these molded plastic things, and we'd set them up on the bench and shoot them with the BB gun. That was like hours and hours of entertainment.
And they'd leave like little marks on them a lot of times where they'd kind of partway dig in and make a groove on them or something like that.
Sometimes BB would get stuck in there. You'd have to like kind of pry it out.
Yeah, pry it out. And we'd blow up models too. I'd have old models and we'd get like a ship that I'd built, a battleship, and we'd put some firecrackers in there and blow up different parts of it. Like, oh, man, that thing's going to sink now. We did some real damage there.
Well, it's funny because I remember like you telling me these stories and me just being horrified, thinking, I would never do that to my toys. You were like that kid from Toy Story, though.
Yeah, that's right. Tortured him.
Yeah. Well, a large part of our history celebrating the 4th of July has to do with fireworks. And that's not just a kind of a recent thing either. John Adams, he wrote a letter on July 3rd, 1776 to Abigail Adams, who was his wife. And he stated in that letter that the 4th of July should be celebrated with pomp and parade, with shoe games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other from this time forward forevermore. So even back in then, John Adams, you know, was saying, hey, we need to have fireworks on the 4th of July. It's kind of our thing.
Well, that's a rocket's red glare or whatever, huh?
Yeah,
the bombs
right.
Bursting in air.
Yeah. So some of the first, I guess, mentions of firework displays in the history books were on July 4th, 1777. This is like in the United States, that is, with regards to 4th of July. There were fireworks before that.
Most other countries, I don't think, celebrate the 4th of July.
They don't. But, I mean, they did shoot off fireworks.
I just see them in England celebrating the 4th of July.
Yeah, not so much.
Let's go shoot something off because we lost.
We lost those rednecks across the pond. But, during the Renaissance and things like that, kings and queens had fireworks displays. But this is with regards to the history of the 4th of July and fireworks in the U.S.
I was always under the impression that fireworks actually originated with the Chinese.
They did. That's where they came from originally.
I thought so.
Although there has been some talk that maybe it was in India, but mainly it's been understood that it came from the Chinese. And it was actually military uses first, and then eventually kind of became more of a...
Celebratory thing.
But the first 4th of July mention with fireworks is 1777 in Philadelphia and then also in Boston. And then also in 1784, there's some history where a merchant was offering fireworks for private use, and he offered rockets, serpents, wheels, table rockets, cherry trees, fountains, and sunflowers.
Those sound like some good ones.
Yeah.
Was it Crazy Dave's or something?
Crazy Dave. Come on down to Crazy Dave's.
Have you ever noticed that? All the fireworks places, the guy's got to be mentally unstable to sell them.
Yeah.
It's always like Looney Joe's and Crazy Dave's and Insane Sam's and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, like, you're not allowed to sell fireworks and be mentally stable?
I always wanted to be Crazy Uncle Mike who plays with fireworks. That would be my full official name.
And has only four fingers.
Yeah. But when I was reading that about the different... the advertisements for the original ones reminded me of the Joe Dirt. Have you seen Joe Dirt?
I know of it, but I've never watched it. I didn't have 2 hours I wanted to throw away.
Oh, it's a good movie. You should check it out. I mean, it's pretty awesome. It's David Spade at his best.
David Spade at his best.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but still, David Spade at his best. Is that register?
No, I'm telling you, Joe Dirt is a good movie. Now, Joe Dirt 2, the second one that was like direct-to-video.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was brutal. Oh.
That's a shame that the sequel to Joe Dirt was not as good as the original.
Yeah, they did not have all the artistic integrity of the first one.
Yeah, I don't think the bar was too high to fall beneath.
Well, Joe Dirt goes to a firework stand and he says, you're going to stand there, own a firework stand, and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, Husker Do's, Husker Don'ts, cherry bombs, Nipsey Dazers, with or without the scooter stick, and one single whistling kitty chaser. Like, he goes down his whole list.
And those are probably actual names of fireworks. They all have weird things.
Nipsey Dazers with or without the scooter stick. But anyway, yeah, fireworks pretty much, they become a staple of American 4th of July culture, I would say.
Well, growing up, I remember, because they didn't sell them around here. Yeah. They were against the law around here, but we always went down south for vacation, and we drove through Nashville,
mm-hmm.
and they were always legal in Nashville. So we'd stop, usually on our way back home, and pick up our fireworks for the 4th of July in Nashville.
Yeah, I think that was the same thing a lot of people did with South Carolina around here, because South Carolina had real lapse laws with regards to fireworks. And then I know people went across the river to Ohio, too, to get them. Now, I was kind of going through some of the different weird state laws with regards to fireworks, because there's some strange state laws out there. The first one, though, that is probably my favorite, and this is in Florida, where actually selling fireworks, like the... When I say fireworks, I'm not talking about, like, sparklers and the little cones. Yeah, the little cones you stick on the ground. I'm talking about things that go up in the air and go boom. That's when I say fireworks, that's what I'm referring to.
We're not just talking about the golden showers.
Not the, just the golden showers, no.
No, that's Trump's deal.
So... But in Florida, those fireworks, the ones that go up in the air and explode, are illegal. But actually, you can buy them everywhere, and you can buy them. But basically, whenever you purchase them, you actually have to sign a piece of paper. And what this is, it's stating that these fireworks are for basically agricultural use only. And it's a weird,
agricultural.
Yeah, it's a weird loophole in Florida law, and it's under statute 79107, which reads, "All right, agriculture and fish hatchery use. Nothing in this chapter shall prohibit the importation, purchase, sale, or use of fireworks used or to be used solely and exclusively in frightening birds from agricultural works and fish hatcheries, and such use shall be governed entirely by the rules prescribed by the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services." So basically, when you buy fireworks in Florida, you essentially...
You're using them to shoot at birds.
Well, yeah. You sign this release. They make you sign it.
Yeah.
And so that's the loophole that people use, which is ridiculous. It's a farce. Everyone buys them. And no one is scaring birds with them intentionally like that.
You scare birds at night? You shoot them up in the air and try to scare the birds off at night that are attacking your crops? Is that what it's about?
Yeah.
And what about a fish hatchery? What, do you shoot them in the water?
Well, they're going to eat the eggs.
They're going to eat the fish eggs?
The birds will eat the fish eggs.
Well, they go underwater?
I don't know. Or maybe they just eat the fish in general, which have eggs in them sometimes. I don't know.
But you're right, it's just a loophole.
Yeah, it's a loophole.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. It doesn't even make sense if you think about it.
No, it doesn't at all. I mean, and especially when I was living there, I lived in Jacksonville Beach, and I lived a couple blocks from the ocean. I did not have any agricultural use, but I was standing there in a tent certifying that I was buying these fireworks for agricultural use.
You were shooting them out over the ocean to keep the birds away from the fish, right?
I was shooting them at my neighbor. He was the one that used to come to my house on 4th of July and, like, basically just throw black cats. Mm-hmm. He'd throw two or three black cats in my room, shut the door. Pow, pow, pow. It's a fun way to wake up on 4th of July.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
If they're in the bed next to you, that's really a fun way.
Thanks, Michael Fraley. But according to the American Pyrotechnic Association, which is the APA, and that actually exists, and they have a website which has a lot of information.
All right.
47 states plus D.C. allow some or all types of consumer fireworks. And like I had said, and we were talking about, you used to have to go to certain states to kind of get the better ones. But now it seems that most states are kind of opening up to allow you to buy them everywhere, because they're basically thinking, you know what, we can't really prevent them from coming in and out of the state, so we might as well go ahead and sell them and tax them.
I don't know if it's so much that as just, they want the money.
Yeah.
All the states are struggling with their budgets and everything, and they're looking at other ways. So, but the one thing I don't agree with, if you're going to sell them, it has to be all right to shoot them off. You can't sell them to people and say, oh, but by the way, you can't use them.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. That's what are you going to do? Then you don't even get to sign a thing saying you're using it for agricultural use.
Well, no, that's the weird thing in Florida, is the agricultural thing. But there's even a weirder one that's in Ohio. So it used to be, we were talking about, you could go across the river to get the good fireworks here in West Virginia, because we're basically on the border across the Ohio River from Ohio.
Tri-state area with Ohio, Kentucky, and West Virginia. We all meet right there within 5 minutes of each other.
Yeah, so this is the tri-state area. But you used to go over to southern Ohio, and there were really no laws over there, so to speak, of whatsoever.
It was the Wild West.
Whatsoever. But you could buy the good fireworks over there, like the mortars, the Roman candles, the The Husker Dews, the Husker Tolls.
The stuff that'll kill you. You want the good stuff that'll kill you. The stuff that you could stand and hold in your hand and shoot in your face and it doesn't do anything. You don't want those. You want something that'll actually blow your hand off.
But
just like that defensive lineman for the Giants.
Oh, yeah, he did that, didn't he?
Yep. Jean-Pierre Pierce or something. I don't know. I forget who it was.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Some defensive lineman for the Giants.
In Iowa, it's weird, though. They have this law. And basically it says, and you have to sign this as well whenever you purchase these fireworks, is that you're going to leave the state with them within 48 hours. And it's like, you know, a wink and a nod. Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave the state with these within 48 hours.
Can you shoot them off in that 48 hours as long as you shoot them all off?
No, because it is against the law. It's against a state law to shoot fireworks in Ohio, which is weird.
Yeah, they shouldn't sell them if you can't use them.
Yeah.
That's just wrong.
Which I think that's a bit of an anomaly, too. It seems to me that most states don't actually govern the shooting of fireworks. What they do is they leave that to the different municipalities, whether or not you can shoot them within inside the city limits. Like, for example, in West Virginia, you can actually shoot fireworks, but it's actually Huntington, within the Huntington city limits, you're not allowed to do it because there's a city ordinance which says you can't do it.
Hmm.
Now, if you think about that, it makes a lot of sense because what you have in these higher urban populations are houses which are tucked together pretty close, and so there's a lot stronger chance for an errant firework to cause some real havoc to somebody.
And whereas, what goes up must come down.
Oh, yeah, eventually.
Somewhere, smoldering as it hits.
This is true Confucius. But, yeah, so they can cause a lot of problems. And outside the city limits, like in the county, like where I grew up, you know, it was outside the city limits, there's a lot more wide open areas there. I mean, we could shoot fireworks, we could shoot BB guns. I mean, you could shoot actual real guns in your backyard there because there weren't really neighbors around. So, you know,
because you were shooting guns, the neighbors didn't want to come around.
Well, there weren't any houses. So,
well, that's true.
Yeah,
there's a lot of rural area to shoot off fireworks here.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to do that really inside the city limits if you were like down by the park or something where all these houses are tucked right in next to one another.
And yet, it goes on practically every night.
It does. It does. But, you know, it's probably not the best idea.
No, especially if you're on the receiving end.
Yeah. In Huntington, they actually just put a thing out on Facebook I saw where basically they were saying that they're going to have a reminding people that shooting off fireworks within inside city limits is against the law, and that they were going to have a special patrol out on the 4th of July looking for these people shooting off fireworks. Because basically under Huntington Code 545.10, it lays out, you know, what fireworks are. And basically, it's like I said, it's the things that go up in the air and go boom. And says that, no, you are not allowed to shoot those off.
Right. And so, those are the best ones.
They are.
I mean, the other ones, once you've done one or two of them, it doesn't matter how many different crazy names they put on them or how many different colors. They're the same things. They're just sparklers, basically, that just shoot little sparkly things up out of them, you know, 6 inches, 8 inches in the air. And there's really nothing to them.
Yeah. But it is kind of funny the way the firework laws are is because, I mean, really, you can buy them just about anywhere. You're really not supposed to shoot them, but it's almost like you buy them and give a little wink and a nod, like, okay, yeah, I gotcha. We're not going to shoot those. Wink, wink.
Well, I mean, unless somebody turns you in, it'd be hard to pinpoint exactly where they're coming from, even if you saw them. I mean, if you're a cop and you see fireworks going on, it's hard to tell where they're at.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if you knew this or not, but the law in West Virginia has changed recently. You can actually buy the good fireworks here now.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you're allowed to shoot them off here, though.
Well, not inside the city.
Well, I know, but you can buy them in the city. You just can't shoot them in the city.
Yeah, you got to go out to the hinterlands.
Sounds like they're pushing their problem out on somebody else.
Yeah, it's like, we want the tax revenue from you selling them, but we don't want to deal with them.
Yeah, so go bother the county.
Although, you know, I don't know that I've seen... Well, you know, I take that back. I guess some of those places on Route 60 are technically with inside city limits, and there's mm-hmm. a couple fireworks stands out there.
Yeah. Now, of course, Ohio, they had bad incident. Oh, I'm going to say it was almost 20 years ago, or might have been 20 years ago, over in Scottstown, Ohio.
Yeah.
Where these two teenage boys were in there, and one was mentally challenged, and the other one with him dared him to light a firework in the building, and the whole building went up, and several people died in that. And I think that Ohio changed some laws pertaining to who could be in a fireworks place and whether you could have matches or lighters or whatever. But that was a terrible incident. There was a boy that played baseball over at the field where Sidney and Taylor were small then, and they were playing softball over that field, and one of the boys on one of the Little League teams died in that fire.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah, I mean, think about it. It is a pretty dangerous situation because you have things that are meant to explode, and basically people walking around with unfettered access to do whatever they want in there for the most part. So it's kind of a dangerous situation.
Well, I know in my younger days, people had them all the time, and I don't remember anybody ever saying anything about it. There was never anything, you know, and there were some scary ones. I mean, people used to have M80s.
Yeah.
And I remember people telling me M80 was like a quarter of a stick of dynamite.
Yeah, I'd always heard that too.
I mean, it would blow the side of a hill out. We'd put them in there and light them in it. But if one of those had ever gone off, somebody, then you had cherry bombs. Those would go work underwater.
Those are the ones that people supposedly drop in toilets.
Yeah, and flush them, and they'd blow up down there and blow out the pipes and stuff like that. But, I mean, those things were kind of lethal, and we had those. And some of those rockets were pretty powerful, too, that would shoot up and blast. And you didn't know when they shot. You just lit them. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, they literally said on the side, light fuse and run like hell. That was the instructions you got.
The interesting thing what the Huntington code basically says, like the model rocketry, like the model rockets you build that go up and parachute right back down, mm-hmm. those are specifically excluded from the mention of fireworks. You think like, oh, if it light it and goes up in the air, it must be, you know, a firework, but it's not. It actually says that those are not part of it. And I bet most of the different laws probably are written very similar to that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people generally copy things from one place to another.
Yeah,
so
we don't want to upset the model rocket nerd lobby there.
Hey,
or anything, turn them against us.
I'm going to take exception to that. I was a model rocket nerd growing up.
Well, at least you admit to it.
It's fun. Shoot those model rockets is a blast. Well, there's some cases out there because like with anything, fireworks lead to lawsuits. But before we do that, I think there's a couple pending motions.
Yes, I would like to approach the bench to pay court costs.
All right. Who do we have on the docket today?
First on the docket is our good friends at DollarShaveClub.com. Now, DollarShaveClub.com is the smarter choice. Get a great shave at a great price, conveniently delivered right to your door. It's an awesome life hack and a no-brainer choice. You no longer have to schlep to the store to buy a cheap disposable razor to get a cheap shave or spend a fortune on razors with gimmicky shaving tech you don't need.
And when I use my Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor, especially with their Dr. Carver Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides, gives me such a smooth shave. Their Dr. Carver Shave Butter is a transparent lubricant, and since it's transparent, it allows for a more precise shave and helps prevent ingrown hairs and fights razor bumps.
You too can make the smarter choice by joining Dollar Shave Club. Now, here's all you have to do. For a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of the Dr. Carver Shave Butter, and it makes you shave like butter, for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month.
Now, I'm not great at math, but that's a $15 value for only $5.
You're right, Michael. You're not great at math.
In your first month box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of 4 cartridges, and a tube of the shave butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at their regular price.
There's no hidden fees and no commitments, and you can cancel anytime you like.
You can only get this offer exclusively at DollarShaveClub.com/court.
That's DollarShaveClub.com/court. Tell them Mike and Tommy sent you.
Well, who's up next, Tommy?
Next on the docket are our friends at HelloFresh.
Oh, I love cooking HelloFresh.
We had a good time doing that and posted it up on our Facebook.
Yeah, we did. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's I think it's on Riley's YouTube page, isn't it?
Is that? I don't know. I think it went on Facebook, too.
Well, she posted it to YouTube, and then we shared it on the Facebook group.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's out there somewhere in the intranet land.
I'll decipher this for you, Tommy.
Yeah, you have to. I don't know how those things work. It's all still magic to me.
Well,
just
anyway.
Just like cell phones.
Tommy and I took our HelloFresh box, and we cooked it on video for everybody to watch, and you can see how even two cooks such as ourselves were able to pound these meals out, and they were delicious.
I made human cumin.
You did.
It was something like that.
No real humans were made in the making of that cumin.
But here's the thing. I mean, I can boil water. I can slap together a sandwich, make cereal, maybe even grill some meat. but I am not a gourmet cook. In 30 minutes, we took the ingredients that came in this box and made a gourmet meal. I mean, and it was delicious, and I didn't even know what I was doing. I just followed the instructions. It had the exact amount of the ingredients you need, so you don't have to measure. There's no guesswork or anything. You just follow the card.
Yeah. I mean, basically, the recipes that they give you make you feel unstoppable. So there's usually 6 easy-to-master steps that get you chopping, zesting, and cooking like a natural. Most of the recipes, like Tommy said, take just 30 minutes and minimal equipment.
They are constantly experimenting in the kitchen to let fresh, natural ingredients shine. They offer ever-changing menus, classic ingredients, and a new light and easy-to-follow recipes to help you avoid the food coma and food coma and feel good inside and out. I guess, is that a coma? No, yeah, it's a coma. That's not a comma.
Comma has 2 M's.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a food coma.
Yeah,
that's when you eat too much and you just sit around holding your stomach going, oh, I eat too much. See, they give you just the right amount, so you still feel fresh and peppy afterwards.
A food comma would be when you say, alas, I ate too much.
That would happens when you're in a coma with a comma.
Well, the HelloFresh has some new summer recipes out there that are lighter and designed to be more fit for summer table fare.
And they've recently introduced breakfast options as well. Now, when you order through them, you can actually get their product for less than $10 a meal.
Man, that's a bargain, because I'll tell you what, you go out to eat, you can hardly eat for that price. And especially not any kind of meal like this, because these meals they're gourmet.
They are gourmet, and even a non-gourmet can make a gourmet meal.
That's true.
That almost seems like it shouldn't be. Now, for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code COURT30.
That's right. So what you need to do, HelloFresh.com and enter the promo code COURT30, and you'll get $30 off your first box.
We guarantee you will not be disappointed.
Tell them Mike and Tommy sent you.
Don't mix them up.
So now, as I was saying, with anything that you could possibly imagine that you light and goes boom, there's bound to be some lawsuits which happen from this kind of activity.
Well, it is a litigious society.
Actually, I was doing a little bit of research about this topic of fireworks, which I usually do before a podcast.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's a good idea.
Somebody should know something before we get on here and ramble.
And there's actually quite a few news stories that happened recently about fireworks going off and then going like in the wrong direction or something and causing a house fire. I read this one article in Cedar Rapids, and they said that fireworks had caused 3 fires in the last 30 days in that Cedar Rapids, Iowa area.
And is this just recently?
Yeah, this is in the past, like, basically 30 days.
Well, are they in a different time zone where it's already the 4th of July there, or what's the deal?
Well, I've noticed, depending on where you live, the 4th of July can kind of encompass more than just the 4th of July. It's almost like the 4th of July summer, where, you know, you start seeing these tents pop up around, you know, middle of June, getting ready for the 4th, and we buy them, and then, like, well, let's just go ahead and set off a few tonight, and then, you know, we'll lead up to the 4th, and then by then you got to buy more, and more.
Well, I mean, I understand 4th of July weekend, because, like, 4th of July falls on a Tuesday this year.
Yeah.
So there's celebrations going on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm sure there'll be Monday, and then Tuesday, of course, the 4th of July. So I can kind of understand starting Friday and going through Tuesday.
Yeah.
But I don't understand, like, a week ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I think people, like I said, they start buying them, they're like, they can't wait. They have after that instant gratification of shooting them off right then.
I'm a real American. I'm going to start celebrating right now. I ain't going to wait for the 4th.
There was another news article in Portage, Indiana, where a couple had to be rescued from their house. And they were actually rescued by the people who were shooting off the fireworks. And the people who actually got their house burnt down said they had no ill will towards them. And I guess apparently what happened was there was some sort of mortar-style firework that they sent off in the wrong direction and went through one of their windows.
And into the house?
Into the house.
Oh, my gosh.
Almost like some sort of a mortar-style military attack, and it caught their whole house on fire. So
we had one fairly similar to that. It was a little mortar-type thing that we were setting off, and we were lighting several of them in a row to get kind of that effect of like you get at a fireworks display, boom, 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 yeah. And several of them going up. And as we were running along lighting, one of them very slowly fell over. And it fell over aiming at where everybody was sitting to watch the firework display we were lighting. And it's like, look out, look out. And boom, that thing went right over near the chairs and everybody's diving out of their chairs and everything else. Get out of the way.
I don't doubt it.
Nobody got hit. We had another one. It was one of those spinning ones that mm-hmm. you light on the ground and it spins and lifts up in the air, shooting out sparks of, you know, different colors and everything.
Yeah.
It came down on a lady's lap. She was sitting in a chair watching. It came down in her lap and it was still propelling and spinning. And I mean, it burnt her dress and it burnt her leg and everything else. But the thing is, your immediate reaction when you see it happen, everybody started laughing.
Yeah.
And then when she actually was hurt, then everybody felt bad. And boy, she was pissed.
Oh, I bet. You could probably get a really bad burn from that.
Yeah. And she couldn't believe people were laughing. But when it first happens, you know, everybody's having fun. They're shooting off fireworks. Hey, look at this. Oh, that's great. And then all of a sudden somebody catches on fire and, well, there goes the party.
Last year, I think it was, there was an elderly couple in Rome, Ohio, which is basically pretty much across the river.
When in Rome, do as the Romans.
Well, they're actually some fireworks went into their house and actually killed them through smoke inhalation when their house got caught on fire.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And they basically said they thought it was some embers from a firework that had caused it.
Mm.
So it can be really dangerous. So the one report I read that said that basically in 2011, there were 17,800 reported fires, which were started by fireworks, which resulted in 40 injuries and about $32 million in direct property damage.
Wow, I never would have guessed that it had that much.
Yeah.
Now, I saw one time, it was one of those firework displays, and somehow it went bad, and the whole thing just started going up.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the guys that were doing it had to run for their lives to get out of there, and it was just one big fireball.
Yeah, I mean, and that's like a... Those are the heavy duty ones too. I mean, those are the ones that sound like a cannon going off, like mm-hmm. boom, you know.
Yeah, they used to do them in Cincinnati down on the river, and from our house we could see them going off down at the river. We'd sit up on the back balcony and watch them going up.
Well, it's a time honored thing, I think, to have the firework display and go watch it.
Well, several radio stations, local radio stations, had music that was synchronized to the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
So you would turn it on that channel and watch the fireworks and listen to the music that was synced up with it.
One thing I always thought was funny, if you go to these firework displays, you see a lot of people with their video cameras out mm-hmm. videoing it or taking pictures of it. How many of these people do you think actually go back through and watch those videos of fireworks going off?
Hey, what do you want to watch on TV tonight? I don't know. Put on that video of the fireworks last summer. We'll watch them things.
It always cracks me up when I see people videotaping stuff like that, because I'm like, there's no point in videoing it. I mean, if you want to take a quick clip of it or whatever and send it to somebody, like, hey, check out what I saw. But I mean, you're not going to watch the whole thing. And really, you're just kind of taking away from the whole experience of it by videotaping it. You're better off just sitting there and enjoying it, I think.
Well, it's kind of funny, too. You sit there watching it and you hear the collective, ooh, ah,
yeah,
ooh, what? Ah.
Didn't Sidney and Taylor used to call them oohs and ahs?
No, that was the Christmas lights.
Oh, that's right.
They called them woo-woos.
Woo-woos, that's right.
Woo-woo, that was a good one.
Yeah, we drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Yeah, that's what they call it. Let's go look at Christmas woo-woos.
I knew it was something like that.
That was one of our Christmas Eve traditions for a long time. When they were little, we'd load them in the car. They'd be in their pajamas already. We'd load them in the back of the car. We'd drive around the neighborhoods that had up the most lights so they could look at them and marvel at the light displays.
Well, there was a somewhat infamous case regarding a firework incident here in Huntington that happened back in 2011 at a fraternity house. I don't know if you remember this one.
I don't remember that. And I was here then.
Yeah.
I wasn't in a fraternity house yet.
Basically, there was somebody there who was not a member of the fraternity, but they decided they were going to try to shoot a bottle rocket out of their butt, which you had mentioned before.
Well, this wasn't the one I saw on YouTube, I don't think.
Probably not. But the as you were talking about the coefficient between the sphincter and the projectile and the gunpowder.
The wooden stick.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere and proceeded to burn the guy. But here's the weird part. There was a Marshall University baseball player who was also not a member of the fraternity. He was standing there on the deck videotaping it. And the incident caused him such a startle that he fell off the deck and hurt his leg and became trapped in between the air conditioning unit and the house. And he actually had to go to the hospital for it. And he ended up suing the fraternity for this incident.
Well, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I know. It seems like I mean,
you can sue anybody for anything, but I don't see how he had grounds for anything.
I know.
I mean, nobody told him he had to stand there and video this guy's butt.
I was a little hesitant to bring it up because I'm a little embarrassed as to which fraternity it was.
Oh, it was one you were in.
Yep, it was Alpha Tau Omega.
Oh, man.
I know. I was hoping it was those dirty Sig Ups down the street.
You know, that's just Darwinism going on there. They're just weeding out the weak.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, the guy shooting bottle rockets out his butt and the guy falling off the deck because of it. That's, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that lawsuit. I kind of had forgotten about it. And one of my attorneys, who's a friend of mine, is actually the one who represented him. I'm going to have to ask him what the final outcome of that was. But I bet they probably got some money from it, because generally, you know, lawsuits like that, there's some monetary value to it.
I want to know what the algorithm is on beer to mind to brain that you, how drunk do you have to be that you decide shooting a bottle rocket out of your butt is a good idea? I mean, surely nobody sober ever said, I know what I should do. I mean, it's got to be one of those things that's alcohol induced and somewhere you have just the right, you know, coefficient that, oh, yep, now I know what a good idea is.
I'm pretty sure pi plays something about the ratio there. You multiply something by 3.14 somewhere.
Butt pi. is that what that is? Butt pi that plays into it?
Well, I know some of my friends in Florida, like one of the funny games that always, like, you take one of those little bottle rockets, not the big ones, just the little ones that you can get, like, I don't know, 10 for a dollar or something. Mm-hmm. And you take one of those and you light it and you just kind of throw it in the middle of everybody. You just don't know where it's going to go. It's really? Like, nah.
I mean, we've shot them out of Coke bottles at people and stuff like that. Yeah. But, you know, same way with Roman candles. We would put swimming goggles on or something like that. We didn't want to catch a Roman candle ball in the eye.
Swimming goggles. I'm sure that's up to code.
Yeah. You wear swimming goggles and shoot Roman candles at each other. I mean, the ball bounces off. You might get a little burnt, but I never saw anybody go up in flames from it.
There were some other people who were sued over fireworks back in 2015, and it was the Kardashians.
The Kardashians were sued?
They were. They were sued for emotional distress after they basically set off a large fireworks display at their yacht party. And for whatever reason, they decided that they were going to set off these fireworks at midnight. And so
I think I do remember something about
that.
Yeah. And it woke up all their high-class neighbors or something.
Yeah, I mean, all these neighbors who you think would probably be pretty lenient towards other famous people, they were not happy with it, and they all sued them in small claims court for $7,500 each. So basically, that was probably the limit of the small claims court.
Yeah.
So they probably all, you know, basically...
That was the easiest place to go. You didn't have to get a lawyer and
you
know, drag all that out.
One person who tweeted about it was Josh Goff, and he was actually the actor who voiced Olaf in Frozen. And he even tweeted about how it made him upset, too, so...
I thought his name was Gad, Josh Gad.
Maybe it was Gad. I don't know. Something maybe it's like Goff. Olaf.
I know who you mean.
Yeah, the guy from Frozen.
Yeah. He also played LeFou in the movie version of Beauty and the Beast, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think those people that do the voice acting, I think generally do. That's like kind of what they do.
Well, I mean, this wasn't the cartoon. This was a movie.
Oh, the actual movie?
Yeah, the actual movie that came out.
The new
Beauty
one.
And the Beast here recently, yeah.
Oh.
I think Josh Gad, I think his name, I think he played LeFou in that.
I actually did not see that yet.
I haven't seen it either, but I'm pretty sure that he was in it.
Hmm. Well, again, I wouldn't be surprised because people that generally do that kind of voice acting tend to do it a lot.
But, you know, the Kardashians, they're more likely to get sued because nobody really likes them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why people even look at anything they do. They should just say no.
Right.
And Kanye just makes it doubly bad. I mean, he'll just come up and take your award from you and tell you why he deserves it instead of you.
Now, I'm going to let you finish, but first, that was one of my favorite memes there for a while. Now, talking about the firework dealers' names, which are kind of funny, there was a fireworks dealer in Massachusetts whose name was Big Al.
Big Al.
And he had a Big Al's fireworks warehouse, which was 4,500 square feet of fireworks. And he was actually sued by some neighbors because they thought that his whole basically warehouse was a public nuisance and just a big explosion.
If it goes up in flames, they're all going down.
A big explosion waiting to happen.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But really, with fireworks, there's a lot of different things that can spark some issues.
It wasn't the same Big Al that was on Happy Days, was it?
I don't think so.
I was going to say, he's a nice guy. I don't think he'd do that to anybody.
He's too busy running that burger joint.
Yeah. Him and Pop.
Now, there's one really famous case, and that's you learn about in law school. and it is called Paul's Graph v. Long Island Railroad Company. Hmm. And this basically involved fireworks, and it's essentially thought to basically be in every single tort law casebook. And by tort law, that basically is like personal injury, negligence, those kinds of, that's that kind of law.
Not criminal law.
Not criminal. And it deals with proximate cause. And since it's not really on topic, I mean, it is kind of on the topic of fireworks, but it talks more about the theory of tort law and proximate cause. I thought that I would just mention it in passing since it was such a prominent fireworks case and kind of segue into next week, which I think we should talk about Paul's Graph v. Long Island Railroad Company in more detail. And that's one of those kind of cases that every lawyer reads about when they're going through law school. So,
well, all right, there you got a little heads up. We're giving you homework. You can bone up on this case and then you'll know what we're talking about, huh? Yeah. Go into it ahead of time.
Paul's Graph reminds me of kind of a Looney Tunes type situation too, the way things took place with that. I'll just leave it at that. It's like a Tom and Jerry cartoon where you light off one firework and then it goes over here and then stuff starts falling and blowing up. And so it's a good case.
I'll take your word for it.
Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is a part of the show where we go over some different legal terms we talked about. And I usually ask Tommy if he remembers what they were.
And I usually do not.
So this episode was pretty light on actual legal terms. So we're going to have to dig a little bit deeper.
Light on actual legal information.
Well, not really. It had a lot to do with fireworks and, you know, different city ordinances and some weird state laws.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is about fireworks, it's not something that's kind of regulated by the federal government. So it's not like there's one overreaching large body of law about it. But it is timely since it's the 4th of July. And there are some legal issues that come up with fireworks. So that's a good topic, I think.
I always just thought that firework laws were like the grumpy neighbor in the neighborhood that keeps your ball when it rolls in the yard, or won't let you play football in their vacant lot and that kind of stuff.
Old Man Jones?
Yeah, that kind of thing. That's where you are. They just don't want you to have fun.
Yeah.
The anti-fun people, they just do it. But when you're burning down 17,000 houses, I don't know, maybe there is something to it. Maybe there's some merit to those laws.
There probably is. I think it's like with anything that if you do it safely in an area where, you know, you're not going to cause problems, you're probably going to be okay. I mean, I'm guilty of it too, though. In my backyard in Florida, you remember my backyard in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one of those boxes and it had probably about 7 or 8 different mortars in it. Mm-hmm. And so you lit the one fuse
and it went through each one in sequence.
Yeah. Well, it said place on a hard, flat surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just set it down on the grass, didn't think anything of it, and lit it.
I thought you were going to say you set it on top of your head.
No. And well, the first one went off. It tipped over.
They'll do that sometimes.
Yeah, and it started shooting these mortars like sideways, hitting
into
my
your fence.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was. I mean, I was scared to death it was going to hit my neighbor's house. I mean, it was pretty scary. And so after that, I didn't stop setting off fireworks, but what I did is I put them on a hard, flat surface, not the grass. So.
Well, those laws are out there to protect us from the 90% of the population that are actual idiots.
Yeah, which I have been guilty of being an actual idiot from time to time, too, as evidenced by several scars.
I'm the leader of these actual idiots.
So the first term is APA.
APA, American Pyrotechnic Association.
That's right.
Ah.
And they're a large group that deals, that's the big fireworks lobby.
Yeah. But they try to get the laws passed that as long as you sell them, they don't care if you can shoot them off, just as long as they can sell them.
That's right. Yeah. So that
there's tax money for you. I'm telling you, you'll make a bunch.
There's lots of money pouring into that lobby, I bet.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, but there's a website out there. If you go to their website, it has all the information about different laws and things like that. You can kind of see what the lay of the land is. But pretty much, as we said, they're not allowed in most places, but they are kind of allowed.
So. I heard most of the people associated with that group are not very friendly.
Really?
Yeah, they're known to have short fuses.
Bunch of hotheads?
That's right. They shoot off at the mouth.
Okay, so this is not necessarily a legal term, but it's a trivia question. Who would you say is the founding father of fireworks on the 4th of July?
John Adams.
That's right.
He wrote his letter to Abigail saying, let them blast the sky from sea to shining sea or whatever.
From one end of the continent to the other.
Yeah.
From this time forward to forevermore. So he was all about the fireworks.
He liked them, huh? He was a pyro.
He probably was.
I know he sang a song in 1776 about saltpeter.
Oh, well, the play.
Yeah, the play, 1776.
I thought you actually meant in the year 1776 he sang a song about. I was like, how do you know this?
I was in the play 1776. I played John Hancock. I was the presiding president.
Oh.
Of the Congress. There you go. Not of the United States.
Now, how many reported fires were started by fireworks in 2011?
It was like 17,000 and some.
17,800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fires. That caught my attention when you said that, because I can understand two or three random fires that might have occurred, but I didn't know it was that type of a situation.
Yeah. Now, this paper, I mean, obviously I didn't fact check it. I don't know if it, you know, like a small little brush fire that goes out that you can stomp on your foot, if they're counting that, or if they're talking like four alarm, calling the cavalry type fires, but...
Well, I mean, if they made the report, they had to be of some size and significance.
That's true.
They at least set off the fire alarm.
And that resulted in $32 million in property damage for those.
Wow, that'd buy a lot of fireworks.
That would. You could have a lot of fun. So,
I had a firecracker go off in my hand one time.
Did you really?
Yeah. It made me lose my thumbnail, and my thumb swelled up so big the skin split on it. But, I mean, it eventually went back to normal.
How did you treat that?
I just let it heal. What do you do? I wasn't going to go home and tell my parents I was doing it, because we were throwing firecrackers at old man Harris's house. He's one of those guys that doesn't let you play in his yard. So we were throwing firecrackers at his house, and the guy lit it, and before I could even throw it, it went off. And he was laying on the ground holding his head, and they didn't know what happened to him. It was just because it went off right by his ear. And I'm laying on the ground holding my hand, and we're both laying there rolling around.
Which friend was this?
Oh, this was kids from the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't Skip Buzzy and Jeff type deal.
Okay.
But man, that hurt. My thumb turned black.
Ugh.
But it eventually healed back, but I didn't tell my parents about it. I just kind of kept it hidden in my pocket. And about a week or two later, it started getting better. But man, it swelled up big there for a while.
You just kept it hidden in your pocket?
Yeah. Didn't want them to know about it. That's like when I stepped on a nail and ran a nail through my foot. I didn't want to tell my parents because I wasn't supposed to be playing around there. So I rubbed it in the dirt because the dirt made it feel better. So,
were you barefoot?
Yeah.
You're barefoot?
Well, no, I wasn't barefoot when I stepped on the nail. I was in tennis shoes, but it went all the way from the bottom of my shoe out the top. And so I took it off and took it off to examine the damage. And man, that thing was hurting. So there was some nice soft dirt there at the construction site, and I started rubbing my foot in the dirt. And this kid with me was a couple years older. He said, I'm no doctor, but I don't think that's the best thing to do.
Man, it is a wonder you are alive and here today.
Kids are dumb.
Well, I hope everybody has a wonderful 4th of July.
And don't blow yourself up.
Yeah.
Don't drill a hole in your head.
Don't drill a hole in your head.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah. Don't drill a hole in your head and stick a firecracker in there.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
Right. Yeah. Or don't put them in your butt either, because if there's one thing we've stressed about this is that it's not going to launch.
Hey, I just thought of it. That would be a new KY Jelly commercial. Are you ready to celebrate the 4th of July correctly? We have the lubricant for you. Place the lubricant in the affected orifice, and then you will... decrease the friction coefficient and shoot your bottle rockets to glory.
Make sure you use plenty, because it's got to burn. It's fire resistant.
Yeah, it's fire resistant. So coat your whole butt.
Slather it on there good.
4th of July brought to you by your friends at KY Jelly.
Thanks to everybody for listening. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcast for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I...